Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports. Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
South African athletes won 10 medals at the recent Rio Olympics in Brazil. And they arrived home to a warm welcome at O.R. Tambo International Airport near Johannesburg. Let's listen in now to a sampling of the cheering, chanting, and singing in the airport terminal. Among those on hand for the welcoming ceremony was South Africa's sports minister, Fikile Mbalula.
We are very proud of you, boys and girls, for making us proud. We are proud of our gold medalist, Wade van Niekerk and Caster Semenya.
Caster Semenya won gold in Rio in the women's 800 meters final, and she was at the airport. But Wade van Niekerk, who broke the men's 400 meters world record at the Rio Games, is currently in Europe and did not return with the South African Olympians from Brazil. Meanwhile, Sports Minister Mbalula also spoke out against critics of Caster Semenya, who has had to deal with renewed controversies about her gender. After winning the 2009 world title as a 19-year-old, tests reportedly revealed that Semenya is hyperandrogynous, resulting in her body producing an abnormally high amount of testosterone, which makes her more powerful than her rivals. Sports Minister Mbalula says South Africans will always support Olympic champion Caster Semenya.
You kept your promise. The people of South Africa, young and old, watch you and gave you support when they were tormenting you. If they're tormenting you, there's no place like home. Riaurata Casta, you will be our Casta now and forevermore.
Meanwhile, now and forevermore, South Africans and Olympic fans all over the globe will remember the world record run by Wade van Niekerk in the men's 400 meters final in Rio. Van Niekerk clocked 43.03 seconds, breaking the mark of 43.18 seconds set by American star Michael Johnson during the 1999 World Championships in Seville, Spain. Wade van Niekerk's mother is Odessa Swartz. Reporter Haiti Fitzpatrick reached her by telephone in Cape Town, South Africa, and asked her, "What was your reaction to your son's gold medal-winning world record run?"
Well, it's still such a surreal feeling. It feels like I'm still dreaming. It's an emotion that I just cannot explain. If you ask me what was going through my mind during the race, I have no idea, because all that I remember is when everything was done, I was standing on someone else's chair, banging on their head and screaming my lungs out. So I can't remember what went through my head at that time.
I had read some things about, you know, you and Wade as I was doing some research, and I came across a story about the complications there were when Wade was born. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes, Wade was born at 29 weeks. He weighed just over 1 kg. And when he was born with jaundice. And he had a bit of a blood infection. And they had to do a blood transfusion. And they gave us about 24 hours. They said after the 24 hours, he might have one or the other disability. But the Lord was good. And he's world champion today. He's always been a fighter. I mean, in that first 24 hours of his life, he fought so hard. We've never, ever had problems with him being ill as he grew up as a child. I mean, when he was 18, the first time we had him at the doctor's when he had German measles. And, I mean, we were told in that first 24 hours of his life that he might not make it.
When you think about that and you look at what he has accomplished at such a young age, what goes through your mind?
Just pride, because he's just a never-say-die type of person. I mean, he's always been smaller than his friends at school. He's always been a skinny little boy, but he never stood back for any challenge. I mean, give him any challenge and he would take it, and he'll take you on. I mean, it just makes you proud as a parent when you see that fighting spirit within in him as a person, but also with that strong personality of him. He's also such a soft, gentle-hearted person. So, yeah, it just makes you very proud when I look at him today and just to think that I might have lost him when he was just born.
What does it mean for you, and an accomplished athlete yourself, to see your son go and compete in places that you were denied in the past just because of the time and the politics in South Africa then?
When I look at any person, whether you're South African or no matter where you come from in the world, a lot of us, we don't grab hold of the opportunities that we get in life. And I mean, when I look at him, he's been given this opportunity, he's been given this talent. When I look at him, how hard he works every single day. Come winter or summer, come rain or sunshine, he'll be at that track. He'll be in the gym in the morning. We didn't have all those opportunities that they have today. We can't compare ourselves to that now. I mean, like I always tell people, that was a generation that was meant for us, and this is a generation meant for them. I think we were just meant to be the parents of this great generation that's coming through at the moment. And as parents, we can support them in whatever they want to achieve in life at the moment. And I mean, and that's what we're trying to do as parents, because the world is just the oyster at the moment. And I mean, they can either make it or they can break it. It's their choice. He's chosen to make the best of his talents, and he's chosen to give it his all. I mean, he's so committed, and he's just reaping the fruits of him today.
Mrs. Swartz, was there ever a moment in Wade's athletic career where it looked like this could be the end? Was there a moment where things went bad for him, something that he had to overcome?
Oh, yeah, a couple of years ago when he qualified for the London Olympics, he pulled his hamstring. And, I mean, it was a very, very tough phase in his life. He went to rehab, and he worked so hard. And then the hamstring was just very persistent. It just kept on coming back. And, I mean, there was a time when he said, I don't think I want to go on with athletics. I think I'd rather leave it because his hamstring is just not getting better. And then someone like your tiny aunt walked into his life and decided, let's then move on to a 400-meter program and let's just completely heal this hamstring. And, I mean, see how things have changed for him. And he was about to give up because he was just sick and tired of this hammy that's just not getting better.
Knowing his talent, and you've had a front row seat to what it has taken to help get Wade to the top where he is now, what are your hopes for him for the future? If you had one piece of advice for him, what would that be?
That he never stops dreaming, because he's such a big dreamer, and because he's such a big dreamer, he works towards those dreams, and he's a person that will make his dreams a reality. So I would just tell him never to stop dreaming and never stop achieving.
Never stop dreaming and never stop achieving. That's Odessa Swartz, the mother of South Africa's world and Olympic champion runner Wade Van Niekerk. And she was speaking from Cape Town, South Africa, with reporter Heidi Fitzpatrick.
If you were to talk to us from the deepest, better part of the bottom of your heart, Hello, I am Shaka Sali, the host of Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America. Each Wednesday night, I'll put you in touch with newsmakers and experts as they, you and I, talk about the most important social and political issues in Africa. Shaka Sali saying, I'll be waiting for your call Wednesday night on Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America.
And my Voice of America colleague, Shaka Sali, will be waiting for you later Wednesday night at 18:30 GMT UTC when he has another edition of Straight Talk Africa. And I'll be waiting for you, too. That's right. Shaka has invited me to be on a special Olympic edition of Straight Talk Africa, taking a look at the recent Rio Games in Brazil. An international basketball tournament was recently held in Canada's western province of British Columbia. The competition included players from Somalia and South Sudan, as we hear now from reporter Ian Bior.
A traditional fight song was performed at halftime of the tournament in Burnaby, British Columbia, by the Moira basketball team from New Zealand, who sang the haka, or war cry, that has been in the Moira people's culture for the past century. The fight song not only rallied players and fans, but set the tone for the tournament, which included Somalians, Native Americans, and South Sudanese living in the U.S., Canada, and Australia, among other countries. Duol Mayot, a member of the South Sudan team, says at one point he saw people in the stands carrying his country's flag.
You know, and it's that pride, like, wow, you know, we really have these people supporting us, not only for basketball, but for our country. You know, at first they didn't know who we are, but now at the end of the week, they're here supporting for us, rooting for us, and just want us to succeed, not just on the basketball court, but overall as a whole new country.
Mayotte and his team of 10 South Sudanese players from the U.S., Canada, and Australia were undefeated. But he says for him, he felt like he was playing for more than a first-place trophy.
This cause was for our country, which is South Sudan. And we feel like if people from different tribes can work together for this whole country, why can't everybody else?
South Sudan has been embroiled in a humanitarian crisis that has left some 4 million people without food, while tens of thousands of people have fled to neighboring countries as refugees. Mayotte says the win was for his people back home.
You know, the things that are going on back home made us even more hungry to bring it back home, you know, to bring it and win it all. With just all the things, the negative stuff, you know, we really took that into heart and say, man, let's do something different. You know, let's be happy for once. You know, let's win this for our people. And to the people that want to be happy and they like it, let them be happy. And to the people that disagree with what we're doing, let them be, you know. But this was for our people to change, hopefully change ways, hopefully make things turn out to be better.
The tournament was sponsored by Baden, a sports wholesale distributor, and the Skittagate Band Council, an elected administrative and governing body of the Skittagate Native community in Canada. For VOA News, I'm Ian Bior.
This is Dikeme Mutombo. I am from Africa. Malaria kills thousands of children every day. Don't let your child be one of them. Make sure they sleep under a treated mosquito net. Beating malaria is like winning at basketball. You need to get to the net.
Mates, remember me? This is the old sports emperor with a red-hot listening tip. That's right, give a listen to my pal, the bright and lively sunny man on the sunny side of sports, right here on the Voice of America.
Hello, Africa. Dr. Larry Zamoje here, Chairman, Chief Executive, Sports Radio 88.9 Brila FM. Keep getting sporty sunshine with Sunny Young. We all do at Sports Radio 88.9 Brila FM, broadcasting out of the cities of Lagos, Abuja, Kaduna, and Onitsha in Nigeria, as well as the World Wide Web on www.brilafm.net. I tell you this. It's always a thrill, yes, a thrill, to remain on the sunny side on Brilla with Sunny. Keep listening, Africa.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
And at this point in the program, let me welcome our Facebook Live viewers back to Studio 22. My friend Andrew Palcheski will be joining us in just a moment. Quick shout out for my videographer, lighting man, and producer, Bill Werkinger. Bill, why don't you bring that camera right over here and right around my shoulder? And let me show you a few of the Olympic photos I had on my Facebook page, facebook.com/VOA Sunny, during the Rio Games. There we see Wade Von Niekerk. We heard from Wade's mother earlier in the show. Von Niekerk was spectacular in Rio. He set a new world record of 43.03 seconds. Let me scroll down quickly. There's a shot of the victorious USA women's basketball team. They won their sixth consecutive gold medal in Rio, and they definitely earned some headlines in Brazil. And there we see a quick shot of the lightning bolt, but let me bring it down quickly to Neymar. Neymar, also one of the big stars of the Olympics. He had the winning penalty shot in Brazil's victory over Germany as the Brazilians won their first Olympic gold medal. So, yeah, we'll say you're number one. Neymar, number one. And the Brazilians, number one in men's football. At this point, let me welcome back the Voice of America's social media reporter, Andrew Palcheski. And Bill brings it over there to Andrew. How you doing, Andrew?
Good to be here, Sonny. Good to see you, and good to have everybody tuning in on Facebook.
And speaking of Facebook, I know yesterday you talked about some of the trends on Facebook during the Olympics, Andrew, but let's kind of switch social media gears. What about Twitter during the Olympics?
Well, we're seeing a lot of commonalities between the two platforms. The same names are kind of popping up between both. Specifically, Usain Bolt, Neymar, and Michael Phelps. Those are kind of the three that everybody was talking about across social media, whether it was Facebook or Twitter. But the interesting thing on Twitter is that Neymar actually gets two of the top three. So he's number one, but he's also number three on Twitter. The top tweeted moment from the games was actually Neymar scoring that penalty kick versus Germany to give them the gold. Number three was actually his first goal that he scored to put them up 1-0 over Germany. And sandwiched in the middle is Usain Bolt winning the gold in the 100 meter for the third straight Olympics. So those names, like we saw on Facebook yesterday, are popping up again on Twitter.
Andrew, I encourage our Voice of America listeners and our Facebook Live viewers, please stick around to the end of the program. Andrew Palcheski will have a very special presentation to make, and I know you're really going to want to see it. It might even be Olympic worthy. Yes, Andrew, with the presentation. But what else is trending now, Andrew?
Well, we'll stick on the Olympics because, you know, the Olympics, the Summer and Winter Games each come around every 4 years. So it's even after the games happen, there's all the analysis of the social media. So more from Twitter. The most retweeted athlete. I'll ask you this as a trivia question. I'll put you on the spot.
Uh-oh, here we go.
The most retweeted athlete tweet from the games. And I'll give you a hint. It's an athlete we talked about yesterday who was big on Facebook, perhaps getting a number of likes, 1.9 million to be exact. Perhaps a kiss on the cheek from one of her idols.
Oh, I think you gave me the great clue there, Andrew, with that peck on the cheek, the kiss on the cheek from one of her idols. I'm going to guess Simone Biles was the most retweeted athlete.
Absolutely
at the Rio
correct.
Games.
That tweet that she had where Zac Efron kind of gave her a kiss on the cheek, it was retweeted over 100,000 times.
Wow.
So a lot of people sharing that. It kind of crossed over, not just from the sports world into the entertainment world, too. So maybe it broadened the audience of people who were interested in that. But no, Simone Biles had the most retweeted tweet. Another athlete, American athlete, that's making news on social media, Ryan Lochte. You know, we've talked about Ryan Lochte in yesterday and how he's had some issues outside the pool, we'll say.
Just a few.
Just a few. The fascinating thing is that he's been silent on social media since August 19th. He hasn't put up anything on his Twitter account. He just has that one statement where he apologizes for his actions in Rio. But other people aren't staying silent. And the one hashtag I found that I thought was kind of funny was hashtag Loch Mess. L-O-C-H-M-E-S-S. Not Loch Ness like in Scotland. Loch Mess. So a lot of people talking about him and a lot of speculation about what's going to come down, maybe sanctions from the U.S. Olympic Committee. So it may be a long road of redemption still for Ryan Lochte.
I know Ryan Lochte has said he hopes to continue his swimming career and maybe make it to Tokyo in 2020, but I guess we'll just have to wait and see, Andrew.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see, but there's no waiting and seeing on Tokyo 2020. That's already a top topic that people are talking about. A lot of people excited in the closing ceremonies of the Rio Games to see the Mario themes and wondering if, you know, video game playing or Pokemon Go are going to be Olympic events in Tokyo 2020. So there is a lot of excitement about that, not just among the athletes, but among the fans.
Andrew, what else is trending, maybe either in Rio or outside of Rio?
Well, this is a good one because it's about Rio and outside of Rio, so it's a little of both. And it also is a one of our American swimmers who isn't in trouble, which is a nice thing to talk about, and that's Katie Ledecky. Of course, she did it very well at the Olympics in the pool, winning several gold medals. Katie Ledecky is back in the U.S., and she's actually from Bethesda, Maryland, which is just up the road from our VOA headquarters here in Washington. So, of course, she's a big Washington area sports fan. So she's throwing out the first pitch tonight at the Washington Nationals Baltimore Orioles Major League Baseball game just down the road, the other direction at Nationals Park here in Washington. Now, I'm not sure if she's – I assume she's an Orioles fan. She grew up in Maryland, but she might be a Nationals fan. So we'll see what hat she wears tonight if she has an allegiance when the two teams face off tonight. But she'll be throwing out that first pitch. It's actually the third time that she's done it. So she's won multiple medals, multiple gold medals, and multiple first pitches at baseball games. And for our listeners who may not know, throwing out the first pitch at a baseball game, it's not like she's playing in the game. It's kind of the ceremonial start to the game. They usually have a dignitary or a famous person throw out the first pitch at that game. So it's a nice welcome home for her. No word yet either if she's going to wear those medals when she takes the pitcher's mound. That might throw off. It's a lot of weight that she's going to have around her neck. She did so well for herself that it might throw off the pitch, and she might have to remove the medals before she throws that first pitch.
And Andrew, speaking of ceremonial starts to baseball games, we now have a ceremonial end to the sunny side of sports. I think Andrew Palcheski has a special presentation to make live right here in Studio 22. So I'm going to move this microphone over just a little bit so Andrew can talk to our VOA listeners,
yes,
as well as viewers.
We made our quick change so our viewers on Facebook can see that we made our slight change. I moved over to Sunny's side of the Sunny side of the Sunny side of sports. But no, we have a presentation for you for exemplary sports broadcasting and journalism throughout the past 2.5 weeks of the Rio Olympics. You know, we talk about all these athletes that are getting medals, so we can't leave it that you can't have a medal. So we give you the sunny side of sports medal of broadcasting and journalistic achievement.
Wow!
We present this to you. Here you are. Very official, like we do at the, you know, and then we got to do the handshake.
I am honored. I am honored to wear this medal, Andrew.
We are honored for you to wear it. So congratulations for that. And then you get the flag, too. Like all the medal winners, they get to go around and wave the flag around. So there you go.
So there we go, live here in Studio 22. Andrew presents me with a gold medal.
Yeah.
A gold medal.
Not the same ones that the Rio athletes get, I'm sorry to say, but we couldn't snag one of those. But it is still a very nice gold medal.
Thank you, Andrew. I am honored and touched, and I appreciate this kind gesture here in Studio 22.
Of course.
And that wraps up the August 24th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Andrew for presenting me with that medal.
My pleasure.
Thanks also to Voice of America producer, videographer, and lighting man, Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA producer, Kwame Ofori. Another shout out for VOA engineer, Jonah Cummings. And thank you for tuning in, for viewing. I hope to have you back next Wednesday, another Watch on Wednesdays here on Studio 22. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Sub-Saharan Africa is on the move. It is one of the world's fastest-growing regions, is home to a middle class projected to grow to over 1 billion, has the world's most youthful population, and is more connected by technology and smartphones than ever before. A key to continued growth and prosperity in the region is to support and empower a new generation of leaders. That's why the United States launched the Young African Leaders Initiative, or YALI, 6 years ago. The goal is to connect future leaders with each other, with the United States, and to resources and to networks that can help them flourish as leaders in business, government, and civil society. In a recent speech at a YALI town hall meeting for the Mandela Washington Fellows, President Barack Obama announced a new executive order to support American companies interested in doing business in Africa. This fall, the U.S. will host the second U.S.-Africa Business Forum on Trade and Investment. In addition, the U.S. will continue advancing the Power Africa initiative to bring cleaner electricity to more than 60 million African homes and businesses. Under YALI, the Mandela Washington Fellows Program has already brought 2,000 outstanding young Africans to the United States to participate in six-week leadership institutes and a presidential summit. Across Africa, more than 250,000 people have joined the YALI network, through which they gain access to online courses and a network of peers and mentors. Thousands of young people have been trained in leadership, entrepreneurship, and networking at four regional centers located in Dakar, Accra, Nairobi, and Pretoria. A current Mandela Washington Fellow is human rights activist and lawyer Jeline Foucault of Tanzania. She developed Tanzania's first database of constitutional resources, connecting her government to more Tanzanians so they could understand the law, their rights, and their responsibilities. The United States believes in the potential of individuals like Ms. Foucault and thousands more like her, not only in Africa, but in Southeast Asia, the Americas, and Europe. As President Obama said, you should know that you'll always have a partner and friend in the United States of America.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Next on Straight Talk Africa. How do you think Africa fared at the 2016 Rio Olympics? Chaka Sali and his guests will review the 2016 Olympics. That's next on Straight Talk Africa at 18:30 UTC on VOA Africa.
The U.S. presidential election takes place on November 8, 2016. VOA provides extensive coverage of this important political event. Who are the candidates and what are the issues that will determine who the next president will be? Tune in around the clock for coverage of the U.S. presidential election right here on VOA.
What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Bungani in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa. Thank you for joining us on Upfront each Wednesday, 17:30 UTC, for a lively discussion on issues that are topical, challenging, and always engaging.
The show tries to capture that fundamentally aspirational nature of today's African youth. As you've noticed, right here on the show, we talk about everything. Nothing is off the table.
I am a social networker, often online. For me, it's all about making connections, meeting people.
Ooh, without my family, I don't think I would have been here today because they gave me a lot of support morally.
And AU, African Union, can these people really solve this nonsense of rigging election, brutality during what election violence, all this whatever?
Employment rates are climbing, so definitely there's less jobs in the market now.
Remember to connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter at Upfront Africa.